Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes with you today. We are reporting from Columbus, Ohio. This special Ag Perspectives podcast coming from Columbus and the 2018 American Angus Association Convention. Visiting you today with Dr. Stuart Bach of Neogen about some of his works with cattle industry genomics.
But we were talking about that you've really kind of been at this whole wave of genomics for animal agriculture, especially for the beef industry, since almost the beginning.
Yeah, so that's true, and that probably tells you how old I am. But my background and experience in this area actually goes back to 2003. And in 2003, when we first began to move into the area, I was aware of the developing field of genomics. The Human Genome Sequencing Project was wrapping up, and we were starting to think about the application of genomic technology into other agricultural species. And at the time, we had a very limited understanding of the genome. And so I often sort of say to people, we were kind of hunting and pecking around in the genome. But there was a very important event occurred on December 4th of 2003, and that was the day that the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced the International Sequencing Initiative that sequenced the famous Line 1 Hereford cow out of Miles City, Montana, and that was Dominant. And it took about 2 years for that sequence to be completed, and by late 2005, early 2006, we had the very first kind of rudimentary genome for the bovine. And what was remarkable and probably not surprising was as we began to sequence through that, we quickly began to realize there was a huge amount of variation in the genome. There were many, many locations in the genome where animals were present that they had what were referred to as single nucleotide polymorphisms, which means that animals, at that locus, animals could be one of two or three different varieties of SNPs. And with that information in hand, we saw a way that we could harness that technology to be able to determine parentage, that we would be able to ultimately to do the genetic evaluations. And the thing that probably more than anything else, Ron, changed the tide was the advent in January of 2008 of the very first of the, quote, high-density SNP chips produced by a small company called Illumina. And those things really began to revolutionize agriculture. From the launch in 2008 until today, the cost of acquisition of that technology has gone from about $200 per animal. Now, with Angus GS, it's about $37 per animal. So you get a full genomic profile incorporated into the genetic evaluation 10 years later for $37. And 10 years ago, we were paying over $200 for that. And I frankly would tell you that although our early efforts were important, the quality of the product, the SNP chips themselves, is significantly better today than it was way back when. And that's really what we're here about today, which is to focus on and highlight the scientific advancements that have led to the world's very first high-quality, breed-specific gene chip, and that is the Angus GS.
So with that particular $37 test, you're able to determine on a bull or female a lot of you can predict basically what sort of an animal that will be as far as the production traits and all of that.
Yeah, that's right. So there are three components of the content on a chip like that. So first item is we can do parentage. So we have genetic markers on there that allow us to determine parentage. There's a certain number of genetic markers on there that allow us to detect the presence and absence of certain specific conditions or defects. But the bulk of the content on there is used in the genetic evaluation. And when you genotype a young animal at one day of age and you conduct a genomic prediction, the accuracy of that prediction is equivalent to growing that animal. Let's say, for example, it's a bull. The accuracy of the prediction on a day-old calf is equivalent to growing that bull up, breeding him to heifers, calving those heifers, growing their progeny up, putting them into a feedlot, you know, and measuring their gain and then sending them off to a packing plant and looking at their carcass. So you have two choices. You can take a tissue sampling unit from the ear on day one, or you can wait 5 years and hope that you can get some progeny data out of that. It's truly magnificent in terms of what that does to accelerate the rate of genetic improvement and, more importantly, you know, focus on the accuracy of that prediction. Now, we can say with a high degree of confidence that is going to be a heifer bull. And as I said to people this morning, you know, when you sell an animal, your reputation goes with that animal.
Right.
And you know, if you tell that commercial buyer that that's a heifer bull and you're going to have low birth weights and above average weaning weights, and you know, then you don't want a cow killer. And that's what this technology does. It allows breeders to be able to know what they have up front. The other thing that I thought was really interesting, and this was a statistic that came out in the presentations this morning, and what it was, Ron, was we always think about profiling males. We want to know about the genetic profile of the male because the bull is so important, but 40% of the testing that's been done for with the Angus GS is now focused on females. And this is switched on breeders that are using these technologies to select females that will create the cow families that will produce the bulls that they need for the future. And that really, you know, for me is just, I mean, I couldn't be more pleased that we're able to partner with the Angus Association to bring that technology to breeders.
I guess it's like we're just rolling technology on technology. You can obviously pinpoint that maybe that female that's a tremendous cow as far as what her progeny will do. Then you obviously can flush her embryos and have not just one calf a year, but have numerous.
Yeah. So you raise an interesting point, right? So I can find a superior female, but when I breed her to the bull, remember that there's a little bit of a Mendelian shuffle, right? And that calf may get all of the favorable alleles from the dam and mix them with the favorable alleles from the sire. But, you know, not everything is perfect. And when in the Mendelian shuffle, the most important thing may be that not only can we identify the superior animals, but just as importantly is we identify the inferior animals. And we identify them at an early stage before they have the opportunity to go into the herd and disseminate those alleles or those genes into the herd and have a potentially longer-term, slightly more negative effect. And that's the part that really is exciting to me, is the extent to which we've been able to not just work on the bull but on the female side and identify superior animals, but just as importantly, identify inferior animals at an early date.
1 year into the Angus GS project efforts for the industry, you gave a report today. How do you feel about what's been done to date?
Oh, you know, I couldn't be more pleased. You know, I was telling everybody, you know, I can't believe they found a picture of my grandfather and put it up there on the screen today. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, I'm not going to be doing this forever. But what I am confident about is the tools that are available to assist breeders. Number one is, you know, years ago when we first got started in this, there was a lot of concern and reservation that, you know, we were maybe doing something that people would be afraid of or suspicious of. And, you know, what I can tell you is breeders and young people, but you know, old people, older people as well, you know, they're not afraid of this technology. They're like iPhones or cellular phones or PDAs or whatever you call them. You know, they're willing to embrace this technology and use it for their advantage. And what it's doing is it's helping to cement the legacy of today's Angus breeders. Those people that are building the cow herd, confident that they, when they hand that off, that cow herd off to the next generation, it's a better cow herd than they got. And you know, what Angus breeder isn't, you know, in their heart of hearts, really focused on that? making sure that, you know, they can pass the farm and the ranch to the next generation. And the cow herd that goes along with it is the very best that they could have done. And they take pride in the product that they produce, and they're more than happy to use all available technology to achieve that.
So from 2005, 6, 7, 8, in that time period, we're really getting our arms around some of these early genomic indicators for the beef industry. We're 10 years into that. What's the next 10 years going to look like?
Wow. So that's wish I knew. You know, I barely know what's going to happen tomorrow when it comes to some of this stuff. You know, I mean, the technology moves so quickly. But what I can tell you is we have the ability to capture a lot of what we refer to as the additive genetic variants. That is, you know, this gene gets passed to this progeny. What I see happening in the future is really two things. A lot of the expression of the genes, a lot of the phenotype that you see is tied into not the form of the gene, but the expression of the gene. Is that gene turned on or turned off? And what switches that gene off and what switches that gene on? And because those, it is that upregulating and downregulating, it's that switching on and switching off of genes that can have an extremely powerful impact on the performance of the animal. And so I see us moving into an area where we're going to understand a lot more of the environmental influence on gene expression, and we're going to be able to use that to essentially manage individuals to their optimum endpoint. And I may not get there, I hope I do, but within the next 3 years, I predict to you that there will be large cattle feeding operations in North America that are individually managing feedlot cattle to the optimal endpoint for profitability and carcass composition, etc., based on a genomic profile. That is going to happen. I will put my hand on a stack of Bibles and tell your listeners that that's going to happen, and you better be prepared for that, because if you're a cattle feeder and you're not preparing for that, you know, your future may be, you know, maybe different than you think. And so that's certainly one area that I see a potential for great improvement. And Ron, I hope I'm around to see it.
Dr. Stuart Bach of Neogen talking with us at this 2018 American Angus Convention. In Columbus, I'm Ron Hayes.